Hi, this is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of a lot of training, both free and paid for people who want to get in the self-storage business or who want to grow their self-storage business. And today is episode 400. So when I first started recording out loud, basically what I was learning in the self-storage business in 2015, I had no idea that 400 episodes and 8 years later, I would still be doing this, but I am. And what I thought might be different and interesting is to take a look back over the time that I have spent learning out loud and sharing my thoughts and my ideas about self-storage. So what I thought I'd do is kind of start back at the beginning and kind of work my way up. If you're listening to this on podcasts, on this first one, I apologize. You can go to episode 400 at my YouTube channel and actually see the kids that are in this first video. They're what make it interesting. But let's take a look back at one of the first episodes I did. I had just got back from an ISS show, got off the plane, went straight to a campsite, a cabin we had in the woods with our family, and I needed to get an episode out, and I didn't have any of my gear with me, so I asked the kids to kind of help me hold the camera, etc. And anyway, this was one of the earlier videos I did.
Of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and we just left the ISS convention in Las Vegas, and I went straight to a camping trip in Red River Gorge in eastern Kentucky, and here's one of my grandchildren, Noah. Are you smiling? So anyway, I want to talk very quickly about the convention we just left, and I want to give you the state of the world. Well, the storage world, that is. So if you've been going to the conventions for the last 3 years, you've noticed a distinct change each year of the convention. 3 years ago, the theme was survival. Everyone wanted to survive the downturn, stay alive, not lose your facility, stay in business. Then last year, there was a little bit of hope. But this year it's optimism. Optimism was the theme. Everyone's occupancy was up and everything was going well. Jackson, kind of hold it still, buddy. Now, Jackson, who you'll see in a minute, is my grandson who's doing the filming.
Can I show myself?
Turned into an excellent, excellent crew member. So, hold it still, buddy. Optimism is the theme. However, I caution people. As optimism hits, what you're going to see is a lot of new product come online. Be sure, if you're considering an expansion or a new facility, to get a feasibility report done. This is the time where people create new facilities, don't do their homework, and then are stuck with a lot of unleased space.
There's only one thing that we can do, and that's get out in the woods and celebrate. Many of you all know that in our company, we use managers. Our initial business strategy was to buy and small and expand or build 50,000 square feet or more that required managers. And managers play a very important role in our business strategy. And they did with the two brands that I was involved with back when this was video This was videoed around 2016. We were building two separate brands. We ended up selling both of them off. I really miss these people in my life. But let me share with you some of the managers that have worked with us. This was from an episode called The Managers.
And it could be said that the managers, the facility managers at a self-storage facility, are the most important people in the company. And I know in our case, in many ways, that is true. So I thought it might be interesting for you to meet some of our managers. Now, I learned the hard way, you don't just show up with a camera and start videoing some of the lady managers. I learned that you call ahead and tell them what you're going to do. Learned that the hard way. But most of these managers did not get much notice. One manager got an overnight notice. But for the most part, these are pretty much unscripted, just responses to questions. I thought it might be interesting for you to see, and I would like to introduce you to our managers.
Matt, what are the skill sets of a good self-storage manager?
I would first have to say attitude. Your attitude has to be a winning attitude, and you also have to be very customer service oriented. The golden rule, treat people like you'd want to be treated. We've learned in the industry that aside from business storage, it'd be residential, and the reason for that could possibly be death, divorce, or a move. And when people are navigating things like that, you need to be mindful of that and put them at ease about where their things are going to go. And when you come up as a winner with great self-storage customer service, you're going to win every time. That's why I can be the most expensive facility in the city. And I will have the highest occupancy rate because I know how to treat people, and that's how they want to be treated. So that attitude and customer service, I take ownership of this property. I'm not the owner, but I feel like it's mine. So it'll be successful.
Skill sets of a good manager in self-storage.
I think a good manager has to be honest, has to be dependable, has to enjoy what they're doing. I think a good manager needs to be really good with people, be customer oriented. I think the good manager should have a lot of basic skills, needs to have maintenance skills, needs to be able to interface with business people, needs to be able to sell, needs to be able to sell storage. You have to be able to determine a person's motivation in buying and getting a storage unit. You can do this by asking leading questions. You have to get in step with your customer. You have to deal with them, I guess, on a level that they're comfortable with. A business person will be somewhat different than a person that comes in a t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. They're going to look at things a little bit differently. So you have to be able to tailor your presentation or tailor the asking of your questions to a certain person. Even things like voice pattern. I know I'm over 50 years old now. My voice is a little bit different than if a young lady comes in here that's 18 or 19 years old. She will tend to talk very fast. I have to listen carefully to what is her buyer motivation and sort of tailor my presentation to what she's looking for.
A good storage manager is somebody that has integrity, somebody who can be self-motivated and set their own little game. They make up a game and then they try to reach that. And that somebody who cooperates and coordinates with their staff, but also with their customers, that takes care of things in a timely fashion. A good storage manager is able to meet deadlines, do what they say they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can count on that. Really have to be able to pay attention to detail and be able to multitask.
You're good at like creating the game and playing it. So like give an example of a game you like to create and play.
I set a daily goal of what number I like to hit with my the money coming in, and keep track of that so that I'll be on target. And I really love when I hit the number at the end of the month.
The what you think are the main skill sets for a good storage manager?
I think a good storage manager needs to be a storage pro. P for personable, because I really do think that people need to be kind and inviting in the store. We're dealing with a lot of people who are moving and they're stressed, or people who are going through a divorce, or people who've had a death in the family, and or someone who's just new to Louisville and needs to see a friendly face in the city. R is for reliable. We need to be reliable to the incoming tenants, current tenants, but also we need to be reliable to the owners, do our tasks and be well organized and do the job. The O is for on target, because we of course have goals for ourselves, goals of occupancy, goals in collections.
Be careful.
Be a storage pro.
What are some of the best things, benefits of being in the storage business?
You can really help people out. I know it's a business, but there are people that have had storage units here at Q2 Storage for years, and they need the space. We have a lot of tenants who refer us regularly because of that need and meeting the need. Plus, people often come in here and they're surprised at how pleasant the office is, how nice the office is. I can't tell you how many times Paul and I have heard, I didn't think storage places were this nice. So it's cool. Always it's a good response.
Cool. So what'd you think of those managers? Well, I could have filmed or videoed any of our managers and the answers would have been very similar. These just happen to be the ones at the facilities that are closest to me. And that's not by accident, that's by design. In our business strategy, we want to have the best and most expensive self-storage facility in any submarket. And to fulfill on that business plan, we're looking for managers with three traits. We're looking for self-starters. We're looking for managers with good sales skills or can be trainable to sell. And we're looking for managers that can provide excellent customer service.
And as many of you all know, I'm very opinionated in life. My lack of knowing something has never stopped me from sharing my opinions about things. And here's just a few examples over the last 100 episodes of my opinion.
So a lot has changed in 2022 around the economy, loans, interest rates. But is self-storage still a good investment for small investors? Or I hear things like, I should have gotten into self-storage business 20 years ago. For some reason, 20 years seems to be the number I hear a lot. Well, let's take a look. 20 years ago. So given this is 2022 and I'm recording this, 20 years ago was 2002, right after 2001. You remember what happened then? Still no SBA financing. It was 2010 before SBA would loan on self-storage. So we were still using bank loans back then. In 2002, when I bought self-storage in 2002, interest rates were around 7.25% in 2002. And cap rates were running 8.5% to 9% for self-storage. So there was a nice spread there. Worked well. Yeah, about a 2.5% spread. So there was a nice spread there. You can negotiate a deal and get a 1.75% to 2% spread between your going in cap rate and your interest rate on existing facilities. Now, negotiation has always been a very important part of the getting in self-storage. And anytime you can negotiate a 2 to 2.5% or more spread between your going in cap rate and your interest rate on existing self-storage, that's a great thing. Now, if you're doing a value add play, that becomes a little less important. What becomes more important is what is the value when you're done with your value add play, and what's the length of time and the amount of risk to get there. But we're talking about existing self-storage right now. So 1.5 to 2% spread 20 years ago between interest rates and cap rates. Yes, 20 years ago, there were probably less overbuilt trade areas in the country, but there's still a lot of unmet demand. And here's the thing, 20 years ago, about 8% of the population was using self-storage. Today, about 10% of the population uses self-storage. So a larger percentage of the population is using storage, and the population is growing. So there continues to be this increase in demand, somewhat exponentially, because not only is population growing, but a larger percentage of the population is using self-storage. So there's a lot more demand for self-storage today than there was 20 years ago. So even though there's a lot of more storage than there is today, there's a lot more demand, and there are still a lot of trade areas that have unmet demand for storage. So as you can see, I say self-storage is still a great investment today for the small investor. But we hear a lot about inflation today. In my opinion, it's a mixed bag. Now, I should start by saying I'm not much of an expert on much of anything in life, and especially not economic theory or the economy. There's really absolutely no reason you should listen to anything I have to say about inflation. All I can share with you is my thoughts about it based on my experience being through the economic cycle, getting started in the real estate business when inflation was high, interest rates were 17%, and I've seen inflation. In my opinion.
And sometimes as I'm thinking about what to share, we get into some weird places. So here's one of the more unusual topics we talk about. And I want to thank you all for your continued support. Without you, I wouldn't be doing this. My whole goal in this is to support the small investor who wants to get into self-storage business or wants to grow their self-storage business, be able to do so. So I share everything I possibly can that I think may help. So I look forward to being with you in the next 100 episodes, and thank you very much for your continued support.
Today I'd like to talk about a practice I have that's probably made more of a difference in my life and in my business life and in whatever success I've had than any other practice I've done. It's a practice I started in the mid-80s. I listened to a lot of podcasts on success and business, and what I find very interesting is most of the success-oriented podcasts at some point or another will talk about meditation. Meditation is something I started in the 1980s. I can remember when I started my meditation practice, I went to my broker, principal broker at that time at the real estate company I worked at, and was telling him how much I was getting out of it, how I think it was helping me. He listened, smiled, and he highly suggested that I don't talk to clients at all about my meditation practice. I guess back in the 1980s, meditation was considered weird or out there or kind of an extreme. And today, you hear about it all the time on success-oriented podcasts. And I can honestly say, of all the practices I have had a morning routine for decades, of all the things I do, meditation has probably had the most profound impact on my personal life and my professional life. What I've learned over the years is, the reality is we do not interact with the world out there. We think we do, but we're not. When we see something happening, what we're seeing is we're not really seeing what's happening in the world. Now you're saying, what does that have to do with business? Well, everything. Mostly, we hear the voice in our head. And that voice is describing to us and telling us what's going on in the world. And mostly we just believe what it says and then we react to it and make decisions and take actions based on what a voice in our head is telling us. Now, what voice? Well, that voice right there. The one that's probably telling you, this might be an episode I should skip. I don't think there's a lot of value for me there. Or, I've thought about meditation. Maybe I should listen. That voice right there. Try on. Just consider, I'm not saying it's true or the truth, but try on. That voice does not accurately describe reality. What I've learned from my meditation practice is that voice in our heads is totally organized around what it likes and doesn't like. It's not organized around reality. It filters everything coming to us through our likes and our dislikes. As I record this a couple days ago, prime rate went up 0.25%. So that voice in my head hears interest rate hike. Oh boy, that's bad. How am I going to make any of my deals that I have under contract work? That voice tells me interest rate hikes are bad. Sometimes, and for many of us, that voice will also take another step, and it could say something like, well, if it's the Democrats' reckless spending that are causing inflation that require the interest rate hikes. Or that voice could say, oh, the Republicans with their debt ceiling shenanigans are going to drive the economy off the cliff. Either way, it's just a voice in our head organized around our preferences and our likes and dislikes and our worldview describing to us what's happening out there. And we just accept it for the most part like it's the truth. We make business decisions. We make investment decisions. We make personal decisions. We decide who we like and we don't like, who we trust and we don't trust, all based on what that voice in our head is telling us. Rarely, if ever, do we question that voice and what it's telling us, or even recognize that voice. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I will say, over time, my meditation practice has interrupted that. It's not that that voice goes away. It's not that that voice doesn't keep talking to me. It's not that that voice doesn't try to inform me what's going on based on its likes and dislikes, its opinions and worldviews. What the meditation practice has done over time, it's given me space from that voice. In meditation, we just watch the voice and the thoughts that create the voice. We just observe it. And there are times in a meditation practice where you or I can actually be more identified with the part of ourselves that's watching the voice and watching the thoughts than the voice and the thoughts themselves. So when I have a thought like interest rate hikes are bad, now I have space from it. Are interest rate hikes really bad? No, interest rate hikes are interest rate hikes. And when I can start relating to it as good or bad, that gives me power to make different types of decisions. I believe I can make more reliable decisions often, not based around what I like and don't like, what I believe and don't believe. I think what I mostly want to say is thank you. Thank you for supporting this channel, supporting me, and thank you mostly for the work you do in the self-storage industry. And for those of you getting in the self-storage industry, for the courage it takes to do that. I truly mean that. It's the best business there is. I know how much it changed my life and my family's life and the trajectory of where we were headed. And I know it can do the same for you.